Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I thought I was hearing multiple announcers, but in like different years.
No, I'm watching Andrew Nicholson's career highlights. It might just be every basket he's ever scored. It's 4 minutes long.
We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. Feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler. Butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us. July 7th, 2016. It's been a while. Wish I had the sound clip for that, but welcome to Zardcast. Thanks for joining us. We're basically through most of the wilderness on free agency. The Wizards have a full roster. We thought we should join and address that, address everything that's been going on over the last week, really. Kind of a dead period in the NBA, so obviously we step back from the fold, but we're back in it for the summer. We actually have a little bit of a plan to announce here. We've got this has been in the works for a while. So I guess I'll let my co-host here, David Keffer. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for the premiere of what is now called Goldcast. Could you explain to the listeners what this is all about here?
Well, I just think we all stepped back and looked at, you know, where the last few years of our careers have taken us, and it just seems pretty natural if we want to grow as people, as podcasters. It's time to make this podcast about the Golden State Warriors.
Duncan Perfect Roth, you're all in on this idea. Can you explain your thoughts behind it?
I just couldn't be more into it. I feel like we've always been light years ahead of the competition in terms of podcasting, so it's about time we match up with a team that equals us.
And I'm confident that our listeners will understand that this is just the next natural step. You know, this is what you have to do. I'm pretty excited.
Well, I think then we should just start off the show with our new favorite player, Kevin Durant, joining forces with our favorite team, the Golden State Warriors, and what should be the best lineup of all time. Great way to start the new show, everyone. Very exciting. Okay, well, now that we've got that out of the way, Kevin Durant dominated free agency weekend. The rumors were swirling as soon as it hit midnight last Thursday, I guess Friday morning, technically. The first thing the Wizards did was sign Bradley Beal to a max extension, but we'll get to that in a minute. Basically, it was all Kevin Durant all the way until the 4th of July. So I want to throw it back to you guys again. What mundane thing were you doing when Kevin Durant decided to, set up the best one? It could be one of the greatest teams of all time ever assembled on a basketball court in the National Basketball Association. I was in a car.
I was about three or four bites deep into the deluxe grilled cheese at Ted's Bulletin.
That might make Kevin Durant envious, honestly.
Got a text from a coworker asking how many people just became Golden State fans.
Did you spit take?
I didn't spit take, but I did instantly become less engaged in the brunch.
So I think I was asleep at the time. I think this happened like 11 Eastern time-ish?
Yeah.
I think I was asleep and I was trying to petition for even some more sleep time. Aaron had already woken up. We were at Kevin's house.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, I got to keep sleeping.
Then King's correspondent Kevin.
Happened to look at my phone and see that this had happened. Got right up. And I was like, we got to go home now. Something serious has happened.
That sounds about right. Well, our lives will never be as exciting as Kevin Durant because he was wined and dined in the Hamptons all weekend long. Tom Brady showed up. Phone calls from Jerry West. Steve Ballmer crying in his hotel room. It got wild, and finally the dust settled. And
Chris Paul couldn't be bothered. That was my favorite part of the whole thing.
He was out on the banana boat with LeBron, Melo, and D Wade, and Carmel. Yeah, and I think that's all the four of them.
Yeah,
the super friends.
Yeah, for sure. I like their little Snapchat filter that they made too.
What a bizarre life all those guys are leading.
Yeah, so that's why I floated the mundane question alert. Although, Duncan, I think the grilled cheese factor, it's
good. Yeah. So the deluxe grilled cheese has bacon. The super deluxe has pulled pork and mac and cheese.
Whoa.
Stuffed into the grilled cheese.
That's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't feeling super.
No, I got the super deluxe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you just got the deluxe.
Okay. I may have said that, but I got the super deluxe.
Gotcha.
Ted's Bulletin, longtime friend of the podcast.
Great transition, Dave. Longtime friend, sponsor of the podcast. Shout out to Ted's Bulletin.
They're always including us in the bulletin, making sure they get our word out there. So thanks to them for that.
Friends of the community.
And we don't really fit with their motif at all, which is like 1940s. It doesn't fit in their newspaper at all, but that's just the kind of people they are.
They're too kind. They're too kind to us. Let's get into it here, gentlemen. As it relates to the Wizards, we'll get back to Goldcast in a little bit, but as it relates to the Wiz, in the days leading up to the start of free agency, it was announced Kevin Durant, he would be limited with the meetings he was taking. The Washington Wizards did not appear on that meetings list. To the ire of most/many Washington Wizards fans, myself, I included, got fired up a little bit about it. I think the sub theme to my whole 4th of July weekend was just me getting drunk and getting mad about the Wizards and lashing out about various, really just anyone and anything. Now that we're here, it's fine. Everything's okay. But the Wizards are not a respectable franchise, and they did not get a meeting like other respectable franchises did. There's been a lot of back and forth on how to handle this as Wizards fans, because as we know, Ernie Grunfeld, his now infamous plan was always to let's clear out cap space for the summer 2016. We will try and acquire Durant or another superstar to peg alongside John Wall. That clearly did not happen, and really the KD to DC hope, no matter how minuscule, it officially died when he was like, nope. Celtics, Spurs, Clippers, Golden State, Oklahoma City. Did he meet with anyone else? I feel like he might have.
I think that's it. Did he meet with the Hawks?
No,
they were just trying.
The Knicks were like circling a meeting, it sounded like, but they didn't get one either.
Yeah. So, we don't have Kevin Durant. I like that the next phase of KD to DC has already fired up, because everyone's like, oh, he's just going to play for Golden State for 2 years. And then 2 years down the road, maybe he'll pull LeBron. You know, he's got his championships. Then he comes back to DC, wins one for the hometown. I don't see it happening. I think that's delusional. What were your guys' thoughts when the news broke that the dream was dead? Dave, are you mad? Are you at peace? Are you just kind of,
I mean,
feeling even keel about the whole thing?
The dream had been dead since, I would say, it absolutely died the night that OKC came here. And before the game, Durant was like, I don't really like that they have this campaign going on. And then we booed him, and then he got hurt, and then he left, and then Westbrook dropped a triple-double on us, and we lost by, like, 25. I think that was when it was really dead. So I would have liked to get a meeting. I think it would have been good for the team's, like, profile, but...
Yeah, I didn't find it even remotely surprising, and I don't know why the hell he would have want come here. I mean, it was the only pull... The hometown factor, and...
I don't think so. I think people have been shitting on the idea that this is, like, a bad place for him to come. I never thought that was true. I think he just never was interested in it. It's not like this is an objectively bad place. I think we saw with Al Horford, who was, like, the second biggest guy out there, that he was almost right there. He was totally on board with what Ernie and the Wizards were selling. I just think Durant never really wanted it and never really gave any – in retrospect, there was never any reason to think that he would want it.
That's what I'm saying. With Horford, he'd become from the Hawks, a team that just got swept by the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the Hawks weren't going to be approaching the finals anytime. So Horford wants to make a move to help him do that. With Durant, I don't know if he was going to leave OKC. I don't know why he would do it to come to the Wizards. If he was going to leave, it would be what he did, go to one of the other possible championship teams.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I mean, I guess the other thought is the Eastern Conference would be an easier route, and that's why he'd be interested in a team like the Celtics, especially if they had Horford already. But... otherwise, I don't know why you would leave a team that was a game away from the finals to go to the Wizards.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I think we all, you know, every Wizards fans deluded themselves to various degrees about how reasonable this was. And I think really it was just, it's just kind of the void of, you know, getting over that hump, getting to a conference finals, getting to an NBA finals, like just the hope that, you know, a guy might be willing to roll the dice on John Wall and, you know, a pretty, you know, a decent starting lineup in the NBA. I think that's really what it was. It's that void that everyone wanted to be filled. And people are angry because it's not Kevin Durant. But, I mean, I was just as frustrated that Al Horford opted for the Celtics over the Wizards. That conversation started to materialize, I guess, on Saturday was when he or was it Sunday? 4th of July weekend. My days are all out of sort. But
Horford decided on I don't know.
Sunday. It was Saturday or Sunday.
Saturday night, I think.
Yeah, I think it was Saturday.
Yeah, that sounds right. But so I guess the way things were shaken out was, he was the biggest, aside from Kevin Durant, he was the other biggest fish out there. The Wizards, and, you know, just looking out at who was available, he's obviously top of the list. There were a couple other targets as well. Nicholas Batum, a lot of Ryan Anderson talks for a long time. But, you know, eventually it emerges that the Celtics and the Wizards are the front runners for Al Horford's services. The way people were talking about it, I think David Aldridge and Waj were both at the forefront of the reporting for this, but it sounded like the Wizards had a damn good chance, and even the Hawks got in at the 11th hour, making some noise, but eventually he picks the Celtics, and that hurts. That hurts more than Kevin Durant not coming here, because, Duncan, as you said, how reasonable was that? To begin with, the fact that he was intrigued, you know, it was kind of on the table. He's exactly what we needed, you know, a stretch four, big guy who can score points, who can be your first option, who, you know, John Wall could run pick and roll off of, all these wonderful things, and he chooses the Boston Celtics, and it hurts. Entitled Town, as I call them on Twitter, because God forbid, you know, they not be attached to anything sparkling, shining, and new. And, yeah, it was a little bit of bent out of shape about it.
It would have been a perfect Nene replacement upgrade. Mm-hmm. The whole thing of Gortat and Nene not being able or wanting to play on the floor at the same time. Meanwhile, Horford openly wants to play more four and less five. Mm-hmm. Would have worked out great. And then you would still have him able to play the five whenever you needed that also.
Got Markieff Morris in the mix too. I mean, that's three potent big men right there. Three starters in the league, and to have the option to mix and match with those three guys, that would have been fun.
And you've got some personal heartbreak over Horford as well, right? I learned that from some of the tweets. You were a big Horford.
Yeah, I was a big, you know, for a while growing up, I was a big Florida Gator guy, football and basketball. I was love those national title teams, and Al Horford, always my favorite player on the Natty teams. No more. Lee Humphrey, my guy. Sharpshooter from three.
I mean, this, I'm sure, is, you know, largely sour grapes. Al Horford obviously would have been a perfect fit on the team. Almost certainly worthy, or at least always going to get a max contract. But he averaged 15-7 last year. He's not like, and he's a good defender. He's a good passer. He's a decent shooter, really good shooter for the kind of game that he has. But he's not like a superstar kind of guy, or like a guy that can, he can take a contender and like make them, you know, a stronger contender. He's not going to take a good team and make them into a contender by himself, I don't think. Like, I don't think he's going to make that difference for the Celtics.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's why he would have been great for the Wizards, because, you know, John Wall, he can't do it all. Like, even though, you know, you're saying he's a 15-7 guy, like, you know, you play aside John Wall and you happen to be really good, like, that's gonna turn out well, I think. And I don't know if Isaiah Thomas is going to have the same effect with him. I don't think he's quite as good as John Wall either. So, you know.
He's much littler.
He certainly is.
He's a really little guy.
Ugh. I hate Boston guys. I hate it so much.
At least they didn't get Kevin Durant. That would have made me... People are very upset that Durant went to Golden State. I would have been way more upset if he went to Boston.
Oh, yeah.
What are your... what was your immediate actual take on Durant to Golden State? Like, just your feeling right off the bat.
I was pretty excited. I'm still very excited. I just want to see it.
Just to see them lay waste to teams and put up like 135.
Yeah, and if people thought that like Golden State was like changing the game before, I'm very excited to see it now. Like, especially them playing like a, you know, like a hapless team, and just see if they could put up like 160 points in regulation some night. Just, I think it'll be cool to watch.
Yeah, I had not that reaction at all. I was just like immediately bummed out when I saw it. Not like from the Wizards thing, because as we said, I didn't expect him to go to the Wizards at all. But, and not like a how dare you go to the best team thing either. Just bummed about, there were so many, like last year the Warriors set the record for wins in a season. They were great all year long. But there were still games throughout the whole season you get real fired up for, like, oh man, you got Warriors Thunder coming up on Wednesday, or yeah, Warriors Spurs or whatever, Warriors Clippers, whatever it is. And I'd get excited for those games like days in advance and really look forward to watching them. And now I just feel like there's going to be, well, the OKC ones won't be as fun. Maybe the first time, because you're seeing Westbrook, you know, try to just go crazy against him, but
like Mel Gibson, or I mean Russell Crowe Gladiator,
yeah,
but
or Mel Gibson Patriot. but yeah, there's just gonna be less games that I'm like pumped to watch now. I mean, maybe it'll take them time to gel, and so it will be more. There will be good games like that, but it seems unlikely. It seems like I won't be excited for regular season games at all this year in the Western Conference.
I don't know, though. I mean, even last year when they were killing everybody, and they still lost 9 games, but the games they lost or the games that were the closest weren't against other good teams anyways. They were against, like, the Wizards, or I think they lost to the Lakers, or they had, you know, a really good game against the Celtics. The NBA is just like, I don't know, they're certainly not going to win 73 games again. That was crazy that that happened, largely luck.
But the games they were losing, those lesser teams, were like kind of let down games. It wasn't like the games you were really looking forward to, like the Thunder ones and some of the Spurs ones. The Warriors pulled them out, but they were really good games. Like, they were exciting and went down the wire. The Curry half court buzzer beater came in one of those Thunder games. Even though they mostly ended up in Warriors wins, most of those games lived up to the expectation of them. I don't know. I was bummed.
Yeah, I think we're kind of set up for Warriors Cavaliers 3.
Coined, I think it was, I got to give the proper credit, I think Ben Golliver called it a 3 match.
Oh, I like.
Which I really like. And he should definitely get all his credit on that, because Phil Jackson, like, trademarked three-peat when the Bulls did it. So if Ben Golliver doesn't get a piece of 3 match, he's a fool.
You heard that, Ben. We think you're a fool if you don't do this.
I kind of like the don't kill me. I kind of like the Colin Coward take on this. This is all because of LeBron James. This doesn't happen without LeBron. He's the reason.
The precedent. Is that what you mean? Or
no, I mean just like Golden State needed another superstar to take on LeBron James. They can't do it.
They absolutely did not. They beat him last year.
Yeah, by himself. If he has, you know, 2 other guys with him, he's...
They won the series by, like, 4 points. It was not... And Bogut was out. I don't know what you guys think about this. I think Curry was definitely hurt. Hobbled. I mean, I feel like the Warriors were definitely confident that they could come back and win with the exact same squad this year. And I feel pretty confident that they could. But I do agree that if the Warriors had lost, they wouldn't have... Kevin Durant wouldn't have gone there if the Warriors had just won a championship. I don't think he would have.
Let's circle back around to the Wiz here, because as depressing as things got, I guess you could argue if it got better or worse. Because scrolling through Ernie Grunfeld, you know, going through his contacts list, you know, Kevin Durant at the top, Al Horford... he got the phone call with Nicholas Batum, but he re-signs with the Hornets. Then he goes on to play in D. And that is Jan Mahimny from the Indiana Pacers. He signs for 4 years.
I thought you were looking for a country there.
$64 million. Essentially to play backup center. I had him on my... He was a sneaky good waiver wire acquisition last year in my fantasy team, which didn't get past 12th place, so let's say that. But he was good on it. He was good, guys. He was good. But, you know, the Wizards, they...
Was he your first pick?
No. I don't remember who the first
pick was. He was a very very good FanDuel option throughout the season. He was always cheap. Could get you some decent points.
I think it's, you know... So basically what the Wizards did is... They couldn't get another starter, so they basically just had to load up their bench, and Mahimny was the best bench player they could get. So that's not the worst for their backup center. It gets worse, everyone. Don't worry. But it's okay. I don't mind it. He's a good defensive center. He'll, you know, he's able to score a little bit. You know, people can scream about how he's being overpaid or whatever, but the money's got to go somewhere. I guess they probably had to give him 4 years at the point they were. They really just need to spend that money and get someone of any kind of impact. So if you're going to go for any kind of impact, why not go for impact off the bench, which is where they were at. So that was the start of them filling out their roster. Thoughts on Jan Mahimny, our new friend.
Thoughts on Jan specifically are... That's a pretty underwhelming signing, I would say. I think what you were talking about, like recognizing they weren't going to get a starter, add some good bench pieces is a good idea. Because 1-5, you know, you're looking at the Wizards on paper without injuries, looks pretty strong.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
Get some good bench guys makes sense. I don't know that he or the others that they got are going to be good bench. Well, he will. I think he will. But the other ones, yeah, I don't think many of them are very useful at all.
I mean, everybody pretty much instantly, I guess it started popping up after the Wizards also signed, who was the third?
Jason Smith.
Yeah. That maybe a Gortat trade is in the works, and maybe it's not now. But Mahinmi is a pretty like robust guy, as is Gortat, both on pretty good contracts for them at this point. So that if you have to, you can at least move one of them. You have a trade chip, which sort of seems like Ernie would value. That he has like something in his back pocket if he actually thinks he might get fired for a second, and then he can ship that off somewhere.
My fear is that he will trade Gortat for something dumb and desperate just because he knows this is it.
Like grab Lance Stevenson or something like
or
that.
Or right. Rudy Gay.
Oh, okay. you guys don't want Rudy Gay for... I mean, this was like the hypothetical thing that was floated across Twitter. No, right? Just
no, absolutely not. Rudy Gay, nothing good has ever happened to a team that has Rudy Gay except for getting rid of him. Every team gets better when he's gone. He never helps anybody do anything good.
I mean, the thing about Gortat is, I mean, I said it on Twitter, our friend, Kef's frenemy, Max Binstock, he was like, I said it, you know, he's the second best player. He has been for the last 2 years, you know. And he asked, are you high? I clarified, no. but he was like, Bradley Beal's that guy. But we haven't seen that for a full season. So we're as it stands right now, he's the second best player on the team. And they need to get something worth that back if they're going to get rid of him. So I just fear that Ernie's going to dump him or, I don't know, trade him for something dumb like a Rudy Gay player. I have no idea what they could get for him. Maybe that won't be more clear. I'm sure he's going to be the, you know, trade bait all the way until the trade deadline is over. So that's kind of where we stand. I mean, the other kind of point of conversation with between him and Mahinmi was, you know, are they just going to straight up split minutes? I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think with Gortat being more offensive minded, that him being with the starters is the right place for him. And when John Wall is off the floor, if you can't score points, I guess you might as well stop the other team from doing so, which was one of their huge problems last year. So I don't think it's the worst signing. I think Scott Brooks will figure out a way to make it work between him and Gortat.
Yeah. And hey, maybe Scott Brooks in his year off figured out a whole new way to play where you start 2 7-foot guys that can't dribble or shoot, and that's like the new way to play, and we'll be light years ahead.
We can only hope.
Remember, you heard it here first. new dynasty with Mahinmi and Gortat.
So the next move that the Wizards make here over the weekend, they sign Andrew Nicholson, $26 million, 4 years. My first thought is, who's Andrew Nicholson?
I think that was everyone's first thought.
I mean, I watch a good amount of NBA. I won't profess to know everything and everyone in the league, but I did not know who this man was. And that, to me, at first glance, not a good sign.
Yeah, I have plenty of time at work where I'm just bored and fill that time playing Sporkle quizzes, trying to name, like, who got the, you know, the most minutes on random teams and just real dumb quizzes like that. And for that reason, same. Even if I haven't watched teams play, I've heard names, and I did not know who Andrew Nicholson was either.
Yeah, I mean, we've got League Pass here. I play a really good amount of 2K, and anybody that's any good in 2K eventually pops up somewhere. I mean, he played 800 minutes last year. He's not like a...
It's not even that few.
I don't know.
He averaged about 7 points and 3.5 rebounds per game last year.
That's way better than I would have expected.
And I looked at it. I saw a shot chart over the weekend. He basically shoots like high 30s to low 40s everywhere on the court. So he's like super average. I guess people were saying he has a high upside. He's pretty athletic. He does have like a decent shooting stroke. So there could be something there. How long did we say? 4 years. That worries me. Should, you know, that potential not arise. So that's a concern. But again, this is all about filling out the bench.
And you were talking about Mahimi or Gortat being a trade chip. The most common trade chips are those dudes, you have no idea who they are. So he could always be tossed into any kind of trade.
Right. Right.
If he's young and signed for 4 years.
His nickname is YMCA, according to Basketball Reference.
Can you also give us the other nugget that you found out about him from his Orlando days?
Oh, yeah. Let me get this right. Hang on.
This is pretty good.
Apparently, this Magic announcer, I guess, would say when Andrew Nicholson had some guy working in the post, he would say he's putting him in the torture chamber, which seems strange and just like too violent, that imagery. Like, it's one thing to say it's like a dagger, but like in a torture chamber seems...
You were watching his career highlight mixtape earlier. You said it was 4.5 minutes long and likely just contained all of his career buckets, which got me wondering if that was how you made a career highlight tape, like how long would Karl Malone or Kareem's highlight tape be?
But I think
take
maybe
like days to watch that.
I think maybe we're just wrong and this guy, we just haven't watched enough Magic basketball. Maybe.
That 10 minutes and 7 points just shocked me. I was assuming it was like 2 minutes and no points.
Well, he actually averaged 15 minutes because he only played 56 games last year.
Wow.
So he averaged... This is good podcasting, right? Just reading a guy's basketball reference
Go
page.
For it, man. Woohoo!
14.7 minutes a game. Who knows? You know what, though? He's a great free throw shooter. 80%. I like that. Sign him. He's worth it.
Okay. Super, super exciting stuff. But guys, it only gets more exciting because... You know Mr. Grunfeld. He just can't keep his hands off those draft picks. Wants nothing to do with them. Tosses them out like they're jars of the plague. Really, this one's inconsequential, though. He trades a 2021 second round pick, sends that to Utah in exchange for 23-year-old Trey Burke. Interesting.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, why? I mean, why... Well, okay, first I should say why not, but why not because they don't really have any other good guard options off the bench, so I don't know. Maybe he just needs a new change of scenery?
When I read about this on Reddit, I think that the first comment was, Trey Burke sucks so bad that the Jazz just traded him for a 14-year-old.
I
guess that's technically true.
He seems like someone you could play... with Wall in addition to backing him up.
Like, yeah. If he can hit the open threes, he can play with John Wall.
I remember more of him from before he was at Utah. And then he could shoot, so.
Yeah, at Michigan, that was good times.
So maybe he still can?
I don't know. He didn't even play last year behind, like, Raul Nito? Nato? Is that how you pronounce it? And some other idiot. Shelvin Mack.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
He was like the fifth point guard on a team with no point guards.
Okay, well, that's a disaster.
But was he, so he was good in college?
Yeah, he was good. I think he was drafted like 12th overall.
Yeah.
I can pull that up for sure, but.
Something like that. In the teens.
9 overall.
Wow.
Wow. So that's a thing that happened over the weekend. I think, so outside of the whole Horford drama, I think Wizards fans, it can't just be me. Tomas Satoransky, Grunfeld, the only time he's been like, oh, let's get a guy, let's, you know, toss him overseas, let him develop, and let's try and bring him back in. This couldn't be any more Grunfeldian in the fact that Satoransky has straight up refused to come play for the Wizards for years now. I don't even know when he was drafted. I guess I could probably pull that up here momentarily, but refused to come to the Wizards. And then, you know, so that was basically, they basically put all their eggs in that, as they, Grunfeld does, puts all his eggs in one basket, in the Tomas Satoransky basket for your John Wall backup. That was it right there. And there were some tweets coming out. Slim chance he comes to Washington, which, first of all, I don't blame him, because I wouldn't leave Barcelona for Washington, D.C. either. Never. Probably not in 1,000 years. But I don't know. The whole thing made me mad. It made me mad that you drafted this guy, and he just fucking refuses to come to D.C. Like, that's how much he disrespects the team, and just doesn't care. So on the one hand, I wouldn't be mad at, for like drafting a guy like that. On the other hand, it's like, come on, man, like just come play in the NBA, like play with John Wall. Like, it's not that bad. Like, I promise. And eventually they come to terms and they actually get him on the cheap. They're
paying him nothing, right?
Yeah. $3 million, over $9 million total over 3 years. So he is going to be John Wall's backup. I feel like a lot of this Trey Burke, like as the first option for John's backup, I think Tomas is the guy. And Porzingis has raved about him as well.
I was just looking to see how much Sessions got. He got twice as much. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Who could possibly be excited about this collection of...
I mean, this is basically the worst, right?
And pretty clearly, like, downgrades, right, from the people they lost. Maybe not clearly, but I would...
I mean, for sure, backup point guard, absolutely.
I'd much rather have Sessions, Temple. I mean, Nene's been hurt a lot. I'd probably take Mahimi over Nene, but as a group, I think I'd take Sessions, Temple, Nene. Who else did they not get back?
Dudley's gone.
Dudley. Yeah, I would...
I would take Dudley over... Oh, That bugs me too.
Although
those four guys I would have over.
Although
who they've acquired.
I think Dudley kind of, once he wasn't starting anymore, once he wasn't playing with Wall anymore, he kind of like fell out of, he wasn't super useful once Markieff came to town. So I don't know if I would, I don't know. And he got, what, $10 million? A lot more than I think we were prepared to give him.
Yeah, more than Nicholson's making, for sure.
So I don't know. I feel like the only positive you can take out of it is, you know, the first item on that list right there is if Beal really is as good as, you know, his potential, he leads up to that, or he lives up to that, that's maybe the best signing of the entire offseason, if, other than Kevin Durant, if he's like...
Let's hope so, man. Let's just hope that, I mean, we had this conversation last summer. Can Beal step up and be the leading scorer for the Washington Wizards? It remains to be seen if he can do that. And to do that, you have to play 70 games.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably played about 50 to 60 the last 2-3 years. I don't even know.
Well, he played 70-plus... last year. He played 55 this year.
So it fluctuates. I mean, obviously, you can't do anything about injury, but stay healthy and maybe things will happen. I mean, this is, you know, we talk about the Ernie Grunfeld plan and all this, but like, this is just as big a part of the plan as, you know, acquiring another high-level starter.
Right.
Bradley Beal's got to work out. And if he doesn't work out, I mean...
None of it was ever going to work anyways. Right. So, I mean, he did. He started off last year. He was like a 23-24 point a game scorer. If he can get back there and stay even remotely healthy, consistently play, I don't know. If that doesn't happen, they're absolutely fucked.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess to just drive that point home, the last signing of them all, Jason Smith, formerly of Orlando, 3 years, $16 million. And I don't think it's a good thing when you're adding more Orlando Magic players to your roster. Like
the teams Jason Smith has played for and the years he was with them is a good indicator of the quality of player he is. Sixers 07-10, Hornets Pelicans from 10-14, Knicks 14-15, Magic 15-16. That's
I mean, if they were gonna get another big man, they should have just fucking paid Nene like $3 million, whatever he's getting from Houston.
He also looks exactly like the generic 2K white player. Just like a generically handsome, like 7 foot, 250 pound man. I don't like that. Have some character.
Take away Nick Collison's rugged good looks. And the skill that he used to have.
I mean, at least when our crew of big men sucked, like there was Nene and Drew Gooden, who we just lost. Right. I don't want a
you
bunch
could
of
blame things on Dwan Blair.
Yeah. I don't want a bunch of boring guys.
We're going back a little further. They were worse, but you had a lot of fun. You know,
for sure.
You had JaVale McGee. You had
Andre Blatch.
Yeah, Seraphine.
Yeah. Chaos Life, who could forget?
What a fun, terrible time.
Wow, so we're 40 minutes deep, and this has probably been the most depressing 40 minutes of podcasting we've ever done.
That starting lineup really does look strong.
It's a good point.
A lot of it's dependent on health, but which it has been years on years now. But Wall, Beal, Otto, Morris, Gortat is really strong. In the East, like assuming if they all played to what you would hope from them, should definitely be mid seed.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they could get the three seed or the, I don't know, if things go especially right, they could get the second. Like, that's how wacky the East is and how kind of shallow it is. Although I believe that as a conference it got better, but I don't think that this Wizards starting lineup can compete with all these improved squads.
Well, I feel like a lot of the teams that were definitely better than them last year just really fucked with their teams. Like, replacing Horford with Dwight Howard and Jeff Teague with Schroeder is a pretty big risk to take for the Hawks. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, you have Jeff Teague going to the Pacers.
Right. Yeah, I have no idea what the Pacers are going to do. That seems like a weird fit.
Pacers,
like everything that they did.
They're a real, like, theoretically good team.
Mm.
Just every player is a guy who you know is good. But, yeah, the fit is potentially not what you're looking for at all.
And the Hawks just lost Wade. Who knows how that's going to work? I mean, the Heat just lost Wade.
I think they're going to be a disaster.
I think the Knicks are absolutely going to be a disaster. I think that'll be a lot of fun to watch. All of them have a bad time playing together.
I mean, if Boston will improve. The Pacers should improve. The Raptors were the second best team in the East last year, so they're still there to contend with. I mean, it's in terms of competition level, it's still about the same. Things have kind of like readjusted, but I think, you know, it's things are still reasonable. Like, no one's really that good. I mean, the Toronto Raptors that were the second best team in the Eastern Conference last year is the same team that the Wizards swept in the first round the year before that. So
right,
it's all wide open.
And Wall can still go out there and have a healthier year and be the second best player in the conference. And
for sure. And you got another year of Markieff Morris. I mean, he really came on as the year, you know, wound down last year. You got Gortat. Hopefully Bradley Beal can stay healthy. And, you know, if Otto Porter can, you know, take even, I know we had high hopes for him last year. We inflated him too much, but like, let's say he takes like half a step forward this year.
Well, he even did in the second half. He shot like 42% in the second half from three, which is the main thing they needed him to do.
He had the whole thing where he just couldn't do it for two halves.
Mm-hmm.
He would score 17 points in the first half and not shoot in the second half, or vice versa. It happened all the time. But yeah, he did. Yeah, I think you're right. Did take a little step last year, and traditionally, third year is like a common breakout year for NBA players.
This is a big year for him too. His contract, I believe, is up after this year, or he might be like a restricted free agent. I'm not sure where it stands, but I know it's in that realm. So
maybe Kelly Oubre is just going to turn to Scottie Pippen, and we don't even know it.
That's another good point. I mean, hopefully, I mean, he's definitely going to see a lot more. I mean, he's not going to turn to Scottie Pippen. I don't have any illusions, Dave.
He could, though. You don't know that he couldn't.
You're right. We don't know. He could. But at the very least, we have to expect him to improve somewhat. He's going to play a lot more. He's going to play more than, I think he averaged like 3 minutes a game or whatever over the course of last year. He will not be confined to Randy Whitman's doghouse anymore. Scott Brooks has a track record of playing and developing younger players, so that is a thing that is in his favor. It's possible. That would be nice if he became a solid contributor. That would be like a huge boost to this team, honestly.
I feel like right now we're like three guys on a sinking ship talking about how there's probably not sharks in the water. And, like, even if there are, I'm pretty sure I've read that sharks don't even eat that many people anyways, so...
Guys, the band's still playing! Oh, God. So, in that vein, can we talk about how... that if the Wizards aren't good this year, that there's a good possibility we can kiss John Wall goodbye? Because I think that's... You know, we talk about levels of the plan...
Mm-hmm.
I think the crux of the plan of what the Wizards should be focused on is keeping John Wall happy. That means assembling a team that can win basketball games. We're not sure if that has been done to, you know, John Wall's liking. Remains to be seen, but, you know, this is it.
He's a dude who loves to pass and is incredibly good at it and has not had people around him that are effective at scoring when he passes to them. You got like a world-class point guard who doesn't have people to finish for him. That's gotta be frustrating.
Absolutely.
Dave, you got pull with him though.
Yeah, have you talked to him at all? I know it's summertime. I know you guys don't really talk during the season because he likes to stay focused, but
the only thing I will say is that, you know, he read some of those reports like we might be kissing John Wall goodbye soon. And he was like, if I leave, I'm not
kissing letting anybody
kiss me. And I was like, John, that's not what that means, dude. It's like a, you know, like a figure of speech. And he got mad because sometimes he thinks I'm being a know-it-all. But I was just trying to explain it to him. So, John, if you're listening, dude, I thought you didn't understand what I meant.
You know what would make him happy? If we played his little super cut here. Should we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or not?
Man, now he's definitely leaving. You can't
even imagine how mad that's going to make him.
He's definitely leaving.
Me, ha, wash it, John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall, the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John.
Sorry, John. I'm a little bit rusty with the soundboard.
Got to get some, we're going to need a bunch of new ones, and some are going to be retired. A lot of the ones that we had for last season are already, you know, void, essentially.
We had some good ones, too.
Yeah.
Gary!
Alan! Alan! Alan!
Dead. Alan. Dead.
Did Allen Anderson sign somewhere?
I don't think so.
He was, this morning I saw him listed as a possible person they could fill out the,
I wouldn't mind
the
that.
15 with.
He went to Jared.
That's sad.
And I think, but I mean, these buttons will stay, but, you know, mixed emotions to the guys that were losing. How do I
It's a bummer that the names are either too, like Andrew and Jason are too generic, and then Jan is just, there's not going to be a Jan clip to find, probably.
Oh, we'll find
it. Is that a challenge, Dave? Because I think I might have one right here.
Iron behind my. Iron behind my. Iron behind my. Iron behind
mine. So unless anyone's got a better...
Are we going to get sued for a copyright violation by whatever idiot runs that YouTube channel?
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know, Dave.
Wouldn't that be such a sad way to...
Zardcast and Shutting Down, we've been sued by Run for the Cube and his 50,000 subscribers. Okay, so I think that basically runs through the Wizards' gauntlet here. We've got a couple minutes. We want to talk the rest of the NBA at large. I know we promised Duncan about 17 seconds to talk about the Sixers as well, so we can get to that at the very, 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 very end. What are we thinking here, guys? What do we want to discuss? We've already gone through Kevin Durant. There are some other moves here. Why don't we start with Dwayne Wade? The most or the second most notable name out there.
I'm very proud of him. I hate Pat Riley's like smug, like mafia bit. I hate that. I'm so glad that blew up in his face. I'm very glad that the Miami Herald posted a drunk text that he sent to a reporter last night. Yeah. Did you read
it? Oh my God, no!
He sent it to Levitard, right?
Was it? I don't know. It's really funny.
The long one where it's like, he's
I'm so sad.
Yeah. I'm going to need that to be a dramatic reading.
Do you think we could get Siri to read it?
Hang on. That could be good.
Sad. So sad. I will never forget the sixth game in Dallas in 2006. DW rebounded the ball and threw it to the heavens, and the Heat universe was perfect for that moment. Our first world championship. Our universe is not perfect today. It will be fraught with anger, judgment, blame, instead of thank you. 10 years ago, 10 years older, 10 years wiser, 10 years changed all of us. Dwayne had a choice, and he made it. He went home. Bad, bad summer for us. But there will be another 10 years, and it will be someone or something else in 26. Move on with no blood or tears, just thanks. I truly love Dwayne, but families grow, change, and get on with another life. He will be a part of us always. I feel his pain and pride for what pushed him over the ledge. Been there. Forever, for always, your coach I will be. Forever!
Man.
Did you read that off the Players Tribune?
That's a good text, isn't it?
About 9 times I thought you were going to be done, and you just kept going.
It was a long text.
Do you think he's mad at... You said he sent it to Levitard?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Levitard.
You think he's mad that they ran that in the newspaper?
Probably not.
It might be a smokescreen. Maybe he...
It can't be. That's so anti like Pat Riley's brand that...
Yeah. I'm saying, though, like, now the report is he didn't even call Wade at any point during the thing. Maybe he just didn't want to bring him back, and then that's, like, his cover. Oh, I wish he didn't go.
That would be...
dastardly.
It would really be. I hadn't even considered
that. We're playing Mad Libs?
What else we got? Howard?
Yeah, to the Hawks.
Howard to the Hawks.
He's going to... Gonna try and rebrand himself again. Probably won't work.
You know who we can try to trade for is Paul Millsap. He's definitely not trying to stay in Atlanta after they just lowballed Horford and then try to trade Millsap.
Dude, I hope him and Dwight Howard just get in like epic battles. I feel like they'd be like the best feuding teammates.
I mean, everybody seems to feud with Howard. So
I also like also interesting, the Dwayne Wade is also teaming up with Rajon Rondo in Chicago. So they've got a core of D Wade, Rondo, and Jimmy Butler. It's a little bit interesting.
I think they'll be kind of bad.
I think so too. They can't shoot at all. They can't. None of Rondo and Wade can't defend anybody.
Hopefully the Wizards run them every time they play them this year. That would be exciting.
Got your boy Noah and Rose to New York.
Do you guys think the Knicks will be any good?
They could be. They could be okay should things break right. Like they could be like the sixth seed in the East.
I think they'll be a great 8 seed to get swept. I think that's perfect spot for them to finish with that team. What else? The biggest contract relative to least interest for me probably Parsons to the Grizzlies.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird move.
$94 million for Chandler Parsons over 4 years.
He signs on, and so does Mike Conley gets that $150 million contract.
I kind of feel like there's a decent chance that those two contracts might be the death blow to the Memphis Grizzlies franchise.
Just gonna ruin them for like 10 years.
I mean, Gasol is on his way out. Zebo's already cooked. Both of Conley and Parsons are always hurt. And like Conley's what, 30 already?
Something like that.
There's really no reason to have a team in Memphis anyways.
Well, Chandler looks like he could fit in Seattle. Right?
Yeah, I mean he always gets hurt too, but yeah, move him back there. Give Seattle a team.
I didn't realize that Pau Gasol signed with the Spurs. Really almost dislocated my shoulder slapping my knee over Harrison Barnes' $94 million contract to the Mavericks. That's a show.
How well do you two understand the whole trade into cap space thing? And why do teams just make it so easy for other teams to accomplish these big signings? Like, it's not like they're getting great dudes out of this. Who's the on this list of people traded into cap space? You've got Bogut, Boris Diaw, Jeremy Evans, Mike Dunleavy, Jose Calderon, and Shabazz Napier. All of these are done so that the other team can sign some big free agent. What?
Well, Bogut, like, I mean, Bogut's a good player. So they just swapped Bogut for Zaza for nothing, basically.
Right.
Diaw? I mean, the Jazz want Diaw. I don't know about, I think the Cavs, I've read that LeBron wants Mike Dunleavy. I don't know about the rest of them.
Mike Dunleavy's the worst.
But the Mavericks, I mean, I guess they just figure somebody else will do it. But that's part of my question, is why any of these teams would do it. If the Mavericks don't do that, that makes it much harder for the Warriors to sign Durant, and then maybe the Mavericks have a chance at beating them.
I think they're just looking for a guy to spend some money on. I don't know. I feel like that's what a lot of this is. I mean, Harrison Barnes is like, you know, he sucked in the, you know, when it mattered in the playoffs, but he's fine enough, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know anything about the trading into the cap space, Duncan, but
yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's more to it because I don't know like the CBA all that well, but it just seems like teams that don't have a shot of winning basically just acquiescing for the better teams to be able to carry on their attempt at a championship.
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe even if it's only, I don't think this is why like a Mark Cuban would do it, but if you're like a low market team and you can help out the Warriors. Maybe they'll keep you on their list for when they next need to dump a guy that actually is a good player.
Yeah. Maybe they're just like, we can't really compete with them anyway. Forget it. Let's get our guy and hope for the best.
Or maybe some of these people just needed to get, well, I don't know if that makes sense. Maybe the Lakers just needed to get to, like, the cap floor, and so they needed to spend it on somebody anyways. But then I think they just traded Jose Calderon away again, back to Brooklyn, I think. Maybe not.
Excuse me.
Another thing that's sticking out on this free agent signing list, signed to a very, very affordable four-year, $50 million contract to the Lakers, Jordan Clarkson. Man, wouldn't it be great if we had like a backup scoring guard who we drafted, who like is good but like not good enough to run away? Probably enjoys playing with John Wall. And oh man,
we had that guy? Can play one or two in a pinch.
We had that guy. What did we get? Cash? Just cash? Ted Leonsis is cheap. What? Well, I never. You guys want to, I think this is a good segue. Not really, but draft talk. And draft talk is a good segue into Duncan's 76 seconds.
Sixers hour. Okay. well, 76 seconds. I'm pretty pumped. Just generally have Simmons. It's the guy I wanted him to pick. I don't, you know, most people expected that and also wanted it.
How did you feel about, you know, him being like, oh, I want to go to the Lakers? Did you feel like that was a real thing, or it was just like, shut up, we're taking you, and that's it?
I think that was, shut up, we're taking you. It's not like he has a documentary coming out about his journey and like trip to becoming the number one pick. You can't then refuse to play for the team that drafts you number one. That would be, if he's trying to like brand himself, that's a pretty bad move. Anyways, he looks real good. I'm pretty pumped about him. The other dudes they drafted, you know, they're foreign guys who people like. I don't know anything, you know, about a guy who played in the French leagues, but
I mean, you've got him. They've got Joel Embiid, who should be coming back.
Yep.
Nerlens Noel.
Yep.
Whatever. So there are things that you might not have seen before that will meld together on this team.
It's much more palatable than last year's and the year before's teams. And what I was talking about, one of my immediate reactions to the Durant to Golden State making me bummed about like having these other, you know, less just games I look forward to and less regular season intrigue for me. My secondary thought for that was, all right, well, now I can just watch, you know, stupid Sixers Nets games I never would have watched before, because there's not going to be other games I want to watch more probably. So that worked out too.
Got Gerald Henderson, Jared Bayless. That's exciting.
Seem like decent signs.
Well, good times. What's the vibe of Sixer Nation right now? What's everyone?
Good. It's good, good vibes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Nobody really wanted Ingram. At least a very small minority did. So it's pretty good vibes around Sixers basketball internet.
Okay, I dig it. Anything else on the draft, guys? It was kind of boring.
I thought it was kind of boring. Thon Maker was pretty surprising.
The mysterious 18, maybe 24-year-old.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, obviously the Wizards, no pick in it, which is fine, I guess. You know,
if you look
Markieff at Morris is your draft pick, I'll take
it. Yeah, if you look at 13 down, right, so that's where they would have picked.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone you'd rather have than Markieff Morris? Probably not, right?
Probably not. Maybe Juan Hernan Gomez.
If they drafted this guy named Papa Giannis, though, imagine the Papa John's promos we're getting.
Oh, man.
Seems like you guys didn't even
fucking think about that.
Is it because we're dumb idiots, Dave? Is that it?
I was pretty surprised when I got here a little earlier and it was Domino's on the counter. I know you're a Papa John's guy.
Yeah, so I'm almost have enough points for a free pizza. So I got to say I kind of used you guys so that I could rack up some free promo points.
You dog.
Man.
I'd do it again in a second.
I know what you wouldn't do. Oh, I botched it again, you guys. God damn it. Let's try it again. I know what you wouldn't do.
I mean, I would go out of my way to not touch his ass, definitely.
I'm named after the places I may have been enslaved.
Just for funsies.
Do you want to make a new soundboard bit where I read that entire 6 minute long text message from Fat Riley?
But part of the bit though is you accidentally click it again halfway through. It starts over.
I feel like that's just compelling podcasting.
I agree. A little bit of a podcast announcement here. When the season rolls around, we're going to have a band, an in-house band.
Wow.
Very exciting. Haven't figured out who it's going to be yet. I will just float one name out there. Keyboard Cat. But we're open to suggestions at who should be our house band.
Nice, nice. The pod got throwing down some stone tablets.
Yeah, for sure. But also, if you disagree with anything we say on Zardcast, I will be mean to you on the air. It's just, I wasn't today. I held back because I used all my energy this weekend being mad.
Did you see Preacher B-Ball tweeted at us today?
I did not see that. What did
he say? When's the next pod?
Yeah, it was exactly that.
Wow, his timing was incredible.
Hang on, let me...
Schwink, has anyone ever called you Pod Shampod?
Hasn't happened. Why do you ask?
Just the thought.
Here it is. Preacher B-Ball. We need a free agency pod. I am really depressed, and maybe hearing you guys wallow in it would make me happier.
Well, he got that wish. The wallowing came.
We did a good amount of wallowing.
For sure. Other than that, Duncan, you got called out by Max for not being loyal. That's okay.
I didn't even understand that. What was not loyal about my tweet?
That's not what he said. He said...
You aren't noble.
Yeah.
He's making fun of me for being a nice person.
Yeah.
My bad.
That's a bit that he has. It's like, oh, good for you for not being a piece of shit.
I guess the last thing I gotta...
You should be real proud of yourself.
Speaking of like being a piece of shit, when Kevin Durant comes to town forevermore, he shall be booed into the ground, okay? Let's say it here. I don't care how much charity he's done. That is fucking irrelevant. Because guess what? Him not joining my basketball team makes my basketball team worse, okay? That's all I care about.
I mean, honestly, if we can get a loud enough crowd that they can noticeably boo anybody, I'll be happy next right. year. I just wish we had that kind of power to wield where we could boo anyone.
Well, it'll sell out when the Warriors come, but it won't be boos.
Right.
Ugh, you're right. That's never going to change, and that's part of the reason Kevin Durant didn't come here. So he says. Soft excuse.
Friend of the pod, enemy of mine, your guy's boy, Jake.
Mm.
Jake the Snake. Taking some of the blame of KD to DC not working on his shoulders,
Jake Whittaker.
Fuck off, Jake.
Shrink and I didn't want to bring it up, but Duncan.
Well, you know when
Jake's our friend, okay.
When your friend screws up, I'll be there to point it out for you.
We'll have to get him back on and see how much blame that he really takes. I mean, to be honest, you know, he was a vital part of the KD to DC engine. But I don't know. Do you think Kevin Durant ever pulled up one of his articles and was like, oh God, these loser Wizards fans? Or, you know, he'd like go through comments and things like that and just. He's got to be self aware of like how people.
I saw
speak about
Jake
him.
Retweeted something that said like Kevin read everything.
I feel like there's a. What is everything that Kevin Durant, though? Is he.
Everything. all the Hunger Games books, like every article in the New Yorker. Sometimes he's reading weird stuff, like Stormfront, and he doesn't agree with any of it, but he reads it just to see what's out there.
Oh, well, then he definitely read that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. I mean, you hear stories of, you know, various athletes being, they just like the, just like us, just waste their time on their phone, reading articles in the middle of the night, and they soak it all up. So maybe he'll address that in his memoir one day. Jake Whitaker personally discouraged me from going to the Washington Wizards.
I'm saying your Kevin Durant impression.
Jake Whitaker.
Oh, God. All right, boys. Anything else you guys want to discuss before we hit it?
I don't really got it. Pop culture detour, you guys watched the OJ thing?
Yeah, great.
Pretty great.
I didn't watch it. I'm all OJ'd out from the last thing.
Well, I didn't watch the FX one specifically because, well, I watched the first two episodes of it and then heard that this was coming out and that it was, like, incredible. And I was like, yeah, I think I'd rather watch it in that form. So I just stopped watching the FX one.
They were both good.
I feel like we were like, the exact target demographic for it.
For sure. I mean, I didn't, like, know old, shit about shit.
Old enough to have known that, like, there was a person named OJ on trial when we were that age, and then, like, have picked up some stuff since then, but, like, really didn't know anything about it. At least I didn't.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, that's where it caught me. I love the FX drama because of it and soaked up the documentaries. I think at this point I'm OJ'd out, but...
Same, but...
I enjoyed it all. Also, pop culture detour, very dissimilar from this. Pokemon Go on your phone. Don't know if you've downloaded it yet. It's free.
Is it good?
I can't figure out how to get it to work.
I haven't downloaded it yet. I've heard a lot of hype. Dave downloaded it before we started doing the pod.
So are they all around the world? Like, if you actually wanted to catch them all, you'd have to travel the globe?
I think so, but I think, like, there's, like, different... Like, you have to go to different places. So, like, one of them is, like, find a monument and... Find a Pokemon there.
Hmm. If I just downloaded it, how many would I be able to get without putting in any effort?
I think just one.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Which one?
You get to pick one of the starting three, I think.
Squirtle?
I mean, you can. I took Charmander.
Squirtle is an option?
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, I try to walk. I'm trying to get on it right now. I walked around the apartment, and it only made me walk, like, a half step. And
to find your first.
Yeah.
What if I am someone who doesn't drive, and I public transportation everywhere, and walk a lot? You think I could maybe pick up, like, five?
I bet you'd be able to get a bunch.
Yeah?
I think so. I think that's the, I mean, the idea is to, like, be out, like, in the world with the game going on.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. I'm going to give a shot.
All right.
All right. Let's get out of here on that, guys. Good talk, everyone. Follow us at Zardcast, even though we don't tweet during the summer. That's a thing.
And we'll do another episode tomorrow, right?
Yeah. I got all weekend. I got nothing to do.
All right. Tomorrow's that four-hour episode we were going to do, right?
Yeah. Okay. Whole pretty heavy on Goldcast, so just look out, you know. A lot of lineup projections. We're gonna just go through the whole. We don't even have the schedule yet, but we're gonna go through it. So.
Well, we're gonna live cast Thomas Sadaransky European footage as well,
for sure. And we're gonna go through all of Nicholas Anderson's baskets. All ten.
Andrew Nicholson.
Andrew Nicholson.
Nicholas Anderson.
Whatever.
We probably signed him too.
That's fine. No one's listening at this point anymore. So yeah, we'll be out of here on that. We'll return at some point during the summer. Things will happen. Cortado will probably get traded. Maybe we can talk some summer league. You know, that sort of thing.
If you're still listening at this point, tweet at Zardcast Nicholas Anderson and we'll shout you out on the next pod.
And send you $100 in the mail.
Nice. All right. For David Keffer. Duncan Perfect Roth. I'm CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.